Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for our third episode of Wellness with Jenna. Today, I've got a very good friend of mine joining us. Carol is a management consultant at Wavestone in London. She's got 3.5 years of experience in consulting and was previously at UCL studying a Master of Science in cancer biology. Hi, Carol. Thank you so much for joining us today. Would you want to tell us a little bit about your transition between university and work, obviously with consultancy?
Yeah, sure. So I started out in my bachelor's degree doing biomedical science at Kent, which is where I met Dina actually. And then I ended up not really knowing what to do with the degree, to be honest. And then so I thought, okay, maybe I'm quite suited to, like clinical or lab work. So then I went to do my master's degree and I thought to myself, yeah, I can use this to then deepen my interest in something and then also kind of explore more options. So I moved to London at that point and then I joined UCL to do my MSc in oncology, which is something I'm really passionate about. Then, kind of after that, I was still stuck with the question of I don't really know what I want to do. I was left with like lots of different options of what I can do, which I guess is the benefit, but I was very much, still stuck in that kind of slightly confused mindset, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. And so I think at that point, I kind of sat myself down and really thought, okay, what is it that I want to do? What is it that I think I can add value to? And I ended up talking to a lot of my friends as well, a lot of friends and family, how did they start their careers? How did they choose their careers? And I think through a lot of reflection of what I wanted out of life, I ended up in consulting and ended up staying in London. So that's kind of like an overview of my story.
Oh, that's lovely. So obviously you transitioning between that university life and working in London, that must have been a huge change. How did you cope with, I guess, busy city life? Is that something that you're used to? Are you from London originally?
So I'm actually from Belfast in Northern Ireland. So I think I kind of moved around a lot in my life before I ended up at Kent. And I think I always knew I wanted to go to the big city. So even though it is quite a jarring transition going from quite a sleepy, like pleasant town like Canterbury and Kent, going to somewhere like somewhere massive like London. But I think I suppose I always knew that I wanted to go somewhere like London. So then the jarring transition was manageable for me because I basically like mentally prepared for that already. So then the expectations were already there, and I think that really helped. Because otherwise, yeah, I think it would have been much more difficult to transition.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think also because you've got to love what you do, you've got to have a passion for what you're doing. And I'm guessing with consultancy, you get to meet a lot of different people. You get to kind of, I'm guessing, network and meet different people from your field and obviously different fields. In terms of consultancy, could you tell us a little bit about what you do? Like, what's your day-to-day routine? And is there anything that you could maybe advise to someone out there, to young graduates who are looking to get into consultancy at the minute?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work in life sciences and I kind of specialized as soon as I joined consulting. So, I mean, what a lot of people do is you can become like a generalist consultant where you work across lots of different industries if you join like a Big Four somewhere like an Accenture or a KPMG. What I did was I specifically joined life sciences. So that's working with pharma companies. Because I always knew that I really wanted to work in this industry and I wanted to stay connected to my kind of more biological or medical kind of background. I think that has kind of helped me keep my passion for consulting because I think, I don't think the generalist path would have really worked for me because it would be, you'd kind of be working across a lot of different industries. Without perhaps getting too deep into any of them. But I know that that's something a lot of people do choose to do. There's basically like routes of specialization. And yeah, what I do normally in life sciences is I work in a lot of patient support, designing patient services. I've worked in things like managing data for global pharma companies, and also things like customer experience. A lot of like jargon terms, but really what that is just helping pharma companies become more efficient, have better processes for doing things, to have better experiences that they give to their patients.
Sounds super, super interesting. I think, as you said, with niche degrees and with niche fields like me and you, I think it's so difficult to get into something that's really broad and generic because you've already specialized throughout your life, throughout your journey as a university student. And I'm guessing you want to keep on, keep in that field and just stay, working with someone and something that you enjoy and you have a passion for. Looking into more of the kind of work-life balance and work culture, I'm guessing obviously city life and being in London, that must have been really, really enjoyable for you. But is there anything as a young woman in consultancy that you felt could be changed, or did you feel comfortable when you started working at your company?
I'm quite lucky in that I joined a company that really valued work culture and work-life balance as well. So originally the company was called Pen, and it was this like fun small startup. And I think when I joined there were only maybe like 12 people, so it was a
Oh,
really small
sure.
team. You got to know everybody on like a really personal level, and I remember when I was doing all my interviews and, like trying really hard to find my first consulting job, they really stood out to me, this team, because I felt like they were the only ones who treated me like a human.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
remember meeting like a lot of the senior leaders, quite off the bat as well, and they were all just like very human about it. I don't know if you've done things like assessment centers
Oh
and
gosh,
things like.
yeah, I have.
It can get really tiring and quite like depressing, to be honest. And
Absolutely.
so I think that human touch, it really made me feel valued as a
Yeah, you feel at
person. And
home,
I
don't you?
also a contributor at work.
Yeah, I think also the whole process of even becoming a graduate consultant, it can be, as you say, really depressing. I know a lot of people who've gone through application on application and getting rejected every single time is not the most encouraging thing, especially as a young graduate who's just come out of uni. But having that work culture, meeting new people and just feeling at home is so important. In terms of your work-life balance, as we start talking about, does your company organise anything? Are there any like weekly socials, or is there anything that just that you'd like to talk about for people who are looking to venture into London and into that kind of world?
Yeah, we organize quite a lot of socials as well. I think that's something that comes with working in professional services. We always try and kind of get together as a team. Part of it is around kind of that team bonding, but it's also just because we get on well, and the kind of work culture that we always try to build is just around, like being genuine and getting to know people for who they really are, and then not kind of just trying to get on with people in a really genuine and friendly way. I would say that it really depends on the kind of company you work for, then the kind of work culture that you'll end up in. That was something really important to me when I first went into consulting, because I'd heard about how stressful the job could be, and also maybe like the negative perceptions of some bigger companies. And I thought to myself, I would really like to work in a company that kind of values me as a person, because I think that people are more productive that way as well, when they're really valued and they feel like they have the support of their team. And yeah, so that was something I really cared about.
Yeah, I think again, it's so important because you're trying, as first of all, as a young woman, you're trying to find your feet, early career days, and you've got to have that support system and have people who are supporting you, left, right, and center. In terms of, I'm guessing you're working in a team, obviously, and working in a team, has that changed your way of, looking at things, in terms of meeting deadlines? Kind of, some people say that, are you meeting deadlines depending on what other people are thinking about you, or are you able to kind of, deliver on time without being pressured too much?
I think things like that really, like, they really depend on the kind of team you're working with and kind of everyone else's styles and preferences. I think that how I've usually operated is to try and get a really good understanding of how each person like prefers to work and how they prefer to do things. Like things like how they prefer to communicate. Like, do they want me to like call them on the phone, or do they want me to just like email them, or what is it that they usually prefer, and kind of take that into account when I'm trying to get something done. And I think there is a bit of a transition as well, going from a graduate who's kind of like spent a lot of their time maybe researching by themselves, as I did. Obviously I worked on my kind of project on my master's degree completely by myself, with the support of my manager, but mostly by myself. And then kind of moving into that team environment where you're never doing anything by yourself, really. Again, you kind of, there's an element of working on like communication skills and things like, the frequent updates, the kind of working together, the kind of cohesion within the team. But I think that just comes with time, and it comes with experience as well.
Yeah, that's so interesting to hear, because obviously as researchers we look at things so differently. But I think for me as well, I wish I had a team, because having to do everything solo as like a one woman army, it's really difficult. And just having that support sometimes from your colleagues or from people who are higher up, I think you're so much structured as well. You've got a structure, you know what to work towards, and that's I think that's really interesting that's one of the perks, I guess, of working in a team. Do you think, now that you're progressing into kind of consultancy, like almost 4 years now, have you been able to kind of manage the stress well? Are you coping with it okay? What do you do on kind of a lazy day? Are you able to kind of take leave? And what do you do just to kind of take your mind off things, to take your mind off work?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people do, and maybe this is not necessarily a good thing, but people do acknowledge that like professional services, things like consulting, is just stressful by default. But I think what I try to do is have a clear kind of change in my day. So when I'm working, okay, I'm focused on work and I'm putting all my energy into that. But when I am not at work, like, I really shut off anything to do with work. So I'll turn my laptop off. I will not respond to any kind of late night messages on Teams or emails. Like, I won't take work calls or anything like that in the evening. And I'll kind of just put my energy into something else and really try to switch off. I'm quite strict about, really switching off at something like maybe 5 or 6 p.m., depending on how much I've got to do. Because I think if you don't like actively focus on relaxing, it's really easy to have work take over your life, especially if you're someone who really cares about the success of the project, which I'm sure a lot of people do. But it's just, yeah, I think it can be a really slippery slope where you care so much and there's a lot of work to be done that the work just ends up like taking over your entire life. And I think that's an unfortunate reality that we have to deal with in something like consulting. But there are definitely ways to switch off. And I think I think it is partly individual responsibility as well to kind of push back a little bit and say, like, no, this is out of work hours. We shouldn't be doing this. But it's also very dependent on your kind of team leader or your manager stepping up as well and being like, no, we as a team shouldn't be like working outside of our allocated hours.
Yeah, because at some point or the other, you are going to be burned out and you're going to feel that in your productivity. You're going to feel that, I haven't been doing enough because of the fact that you've been stressed over a couple of weeks. And, as you said, just being able to switch off, it's so, so important. Even in research as well, even as much as you want to bring work home, it's so easy to just stay there a couple of hours. It just turns from 1 hour to 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and you never really have that time to kind of, sit down and do something for yourself, pamper yourself. And I think being in London, there's so many opportunities that you have to maybe go out, and, network with people. Meet different people. I've met actually a lot of people through networking events, and I feel that, I've made a lot of friends out of that. And it's not even the fact of staying in the same field. I've actually always enjoyed speaking to people who are outside my field because it can get a little bit redundant. I think you probably feel the same. If I'm constantly speaking to surgeons or constantly speaking to people who are in research, then I am going to feel that, I'm not really learning much. But if I'm going out and I'm speaking to different people, I think it's so important for your own mental health as well. But I think again, depending on the type of career you're in, and depending on what type of person you are as well, I think more extroverted people are probably gonna enjoy meeting other people. But then you can obviously just have your own pamper day as well, which is so, so important. But I think we touched
That's
on a bit on, sorry, I cut you off there.
sorry. I think that's a really interesting point. You made a couple of really interesting points there where I think sometimes working consulting, it can be very echo chambery. I think there are lots of like kind of similar personalities that come into a career like this. And so it's always really nice to be able to kind of disconnect from the world. So not just like the job and the work, but just the world in general,
100%,
kind of step
100%.
outside of that and like talk to different kinds of people. And yeah, I think that helps switching off as well, because then you realize, okay, consulting is just a job. Like it's just work. It's not my entire life. And
I
I think
know,
that's really
I know.
helpful.
I know, because it just consumes you at the end of the day, doesn't it? And you're not going to be productive at all if you're constantly thinking about work. And I think that's also going to come to a point where, people who have families, I've got one of my cousins who's a solicitor, and she's constantly working. Like over COVID, I remember over lockdown, she was her husband who's also working in a bank, and she's a solicitor, and they hardly had any time for the kids. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, for someone who has a family, you want to be able to disconnect at some point or the other from work and from the whole city life. And I think lockdown probably made that worse. I'm guessing you also worked from home when you were at Wavestone. How did that go for you?
Yeah, I worked from home. I actually worked from home for my master's as well, because I was doing that plenty. And then I continued working from home when I joined Penn, now Wavestone. Yeah, it was quite, yeah, I quite liked it. It was quite obviously saved a lot of money by not having to commute. I lived with my mum at that time in Southampton. It was actually really nice to see her a lot more, because now living in London, I live by myself with friends, which is also lovely, but I actually don't get as much time with my family when I think about it like that. But it's quite, yeah, I think it's definitely a benefit from COVID that we can all work from home a lot more these days.
Yeah, and I think a lot of companies have are open to the fact that a lot of people have gotten used to working from home. I even have my own little desk set up, and that's still there because a lot of people do work hybrid today, and that's kind of the new normal. But I think again, a lot of people, a lot of psychologists have discussed this in the past. And I was reading an article where they were talking about relationships In general, like relationships for kids, obviously, who were having all their lessons from home, and then people who were having constant Zoom calls, constantly being bombarded with messages, and just having technology kind of consume their life over COVID because they were hardly meeting people in person. Did that affect you, do you feel, in terms of relationships with your colleagues, or were you still able to kind of maintain a level of sanity?
I think my company made a really big effort to do virtual socials, and I think that really helped. I think we would do things like virtual check-in maybe once a week, where we wouldn't talk about work, we would just talk about kind of what was going on in our lives. I remember we did a kind of like a show and tell thing where it was like you have to show an object or something of interest in your house or like the place you were staying in quarantine. And it was really nice to be able to like kind of still have that social connection while not physically seeing anybody else for like a year. So that was really, yeah, that probably kept me really sane actually at that time. And I think even with hybrid working now, we've ended up in a kind of situation where we have an office, but it's very much like if you want to come in and be social, essentially on those days where, everyone comes in, then you can. But then you also have the option of staying at home where, I don't know about you, but I'm actually like really productive when I'm at home because there's kind of less maybe distractions, there's less people to talk to, and it's quite like a comfortable environment where I have everything that I need, if that makes sense. Like if I want to, I don't know, like if I want to have food, I can have food whenever I want to, as opposed to being in the office where I have to like go and buy something at a specific time, maybe. So I think we've ended up in quite a nice hybrid environment, at least in my company anyway, where it's like you can be social if you want to be, but kept the advantages of the work from home culture.
Yeah, I think it depends obviously on the career you're in, because with consultancy, I'm guessing a lot of it is, kind of online. I mean, obviously, I'm presuming you do have a lot of in-person client meetings now, or is it mostly online at the moment?
I would say in life sciences, we've kept it mostly online. A lot of my clients will be from outside the UK, so like Europe or in America, and that is one thing that work from home helped. It kind of helped facilitate a more like you said, like a new normal of where it's all kind of like it's easier, it's expected. There's less travel involved, but there still is some travel involved. I remember I went to America last year to deliver a workshop. So those kind of things still happen, but much less frequently.
Oh, 100%. I think it kind of brings people together as well, in terms of, as you say, people from different countries. You kind of get to, I mean, obviously, I think time zone still matters, but apart from that, it's so much easier to be having that kind of hybrid and online, video kind of conference. But I think again, looking back at COVID days and looking at today, I think COVID has just changed the way people work, and the way, companies have also framed their employees, because a lot of the times when you're looking at kind of job adverts, you just see that, a lot of them do offer hybrid working. And I think the whole framework has kind of changed for hiring people. And I think again, for women, probably not our stage, but people who are planning to have a family or that kind of thing, I think it's really useful, because they're able to take out time for their family working hybrid if they want to go into the office. I know a lot of people in law and in finance and probably consultancy as well, they only need to be in the office a day or two, and the rest of the time they're just working from home, which is kind of convenient, I guess, in terms of saving on costs as well.
I think it's really the benefit is the freedom because you have options. Because when we have hybrid, we're essentially having, if you want to work from home, you can. If you want to come to the office, you can. If you want to do a mix, you can. So it's very much like you said, individual people the kind of like empowerment to be able to do more of what matters to them in their life. And I think that's probably the real like crux of the benefit is just like you can now more and more choose a working style that benefits you. I know like a lot of companies don't actually haven't actually gotten on board with the work from home, which I do quite disagree with. I think it's very much a benefit to be able to have the freedom. And I think companies who haven't gotten on board essentially like don't respect their employees very much, unless obviously they can't do it for logistical reasons.
So, is there anything that you'd like to share to our audience out there about how you kind of keep yourself healthy and fit despite having to juggle, obviously, a very stressful consulting lifestyle and obviously living in London? I'm presuming it's just really go, 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 like early mornings if you have to be in the office. Is there anything that you do for yourself in terms of, I'm guessing, instead of planning meals? Going out, maybe fitness and lifestyle.
So I always try, I think the most important thing for me is try to sleep 8 hours a day if I can. And I've noticed there's been such a shift in my like energy levels when I've been able to get enough sleep. I'm like happier, I'm more productive, but I'm also just like friendlier as well. I'm not grouchy. I think that's probably been like the biggest thing for me, getting into like a good sleep schedule. I think a lot of it is around mindset as well. Like I try really hard to switch off. And when I'm with my friends, I'll just kind of like try and be really in the moment and just be like, I am here with this person and we are doing this, and I'm not gonna think about anything else to do with like work or anything like that. I also like to go to the gym quite a lot as well. Like to like different classes around London and just kind of explore like different things. Like I'll go to a bar class and then I'll go to like a boxing class and
Oh,
just
wow.
I did like a little bit of like Muay
Oh,
Thai,
that's cute.
kind of like MMA. It was just to like see what it
I
was
should join you
about.
one day. That would be useful one day, I'm
Yeah,
pretty sure.
it's
Self-defense.
quite fun. Yeah, and just kind of like exploring what London has to offer. Like there's so many fun things to do in London as well. Just like going to the market, like going thrifting, just like sitting in London Fields or in Hampstead or something like that. Yeah, and there's just so much to do to like unwind and also just to like enjoy your life really. So yeah, those are the kind of things I like to do.
That's amazing. And I think also going to the point of sleep, I think as well, it's so important to get those 8 hours. But I think especially over COVID, I find myself so glued to my phone, and that blue light just really, really impacts you, not only with your mood, because I've read a lot of articles about how blue light can just affect you as a person as well. So I think also not having your phone with you towards like 2 or 3 hours before you go to bed, that's so important.
Yeah, there's something like the healthy habits like that you can build. Like I always like, you can have like personal focus mode or like a work focus mode. I always do that. Like if I'm going to sleep, I'll like set sleep mode on so I don't get like work calls come through. Like if I'm
100%.
at work, I'll probably set like, I don't know, so I don't get like my mum calling me
Yeah,
randomly in
like
the middle of a
focus
meeting,
mode.
things like that. I try to like really like, yeah, when I'm doing a thing, I try to just focus on the
On
specific
that
thing that I
one
want.
thing. Yeah, and I
Yeah.
think just being proactive as well into taking care of yourself. A lot of people like for me, for example, in research, there's so many times that you can neglect and not take those study breaks or not take those mini walks like during your lunchtime. But even just that, just connecting with nature sometimes is so important. There's actually been a study that I was reading the other day. Like a lot of people who live in like flats, like in like America, for example, a lot of them didn't get to go out during lockdown, and they were having like, these mini virtual reality sessions where they'd, use these headsets and you'd feel like you're going on a walk in nature. And so many of these people had their depression kind of cured through that. So just like us taking for granted that we've got those, like for me, for example, like because I live so close to the beach, I would like sometimes just go. Because it's so easy for you to neglect yourself, to not drink enough water, to not moisturize, to not, just do those little things for yourself, not get your nails done, for example. Like you, because you get so, you're so pressured by deadlines, you're so pressured by the fact that you have this, that, and the other to do today, and you're going to neglect that one thing that you probably wanted to do, but you couldn't do it. So I think it's so important just to maintain that kind of healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, agreed. Like there are just, yeah, like you said, there are just like small kind of things that make you feel better, like getting your nails done, like just going for a walk. That really cheers me up sometimes when it's like really sunny outside
Yeah,
and I'm
100%.
stuck on the laptop. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be stuck here. And then it's, when I finish work, it's like dark. So
Yeah.
I'll just, yeah, just step outside for a bit and just think about nothing and just relax. And
Yeah.
it's so, it just makes me feel so much better.
Do you ever finish like late night, or is it a 9 to 5 job?
Sometimes when it gets really, really busy on the project, it will be like working late. Not often, luckily, but sometimes, yeah. And I remember in winter, it's like twice as bad in winter, because then by the time you
It's
finish
pitch
work, it's
dark
really,
as
really
well.
dark. So I think it's important to take breaks, especially like during the day when you can still get some sunlight.
Yeah, I think even just fitness as well, like as you said, like going to the gym, or like I actually signed up for Pilates. But I think, I mean, obviously this is something that I never really step out of my comfort zone. I remember over lockdown, I had my friend literally force me to join these like Zoom classes for Pilates, because she was like, you're going to be at home and you're going to be constantly studying anyway, so there's no point of you not saying yes to this. Because it wasn't like, because I get, personally I get really conscious if I'm in like a group, or if I'm going to the gym, I get conscious of like people looking at me or that kind of thing. But I think as and when, obviously, I grew and I got less shy. I think stepping out of your comfort zone, like just go. If you sign up for something, just do it. Like, committed to it now.
Yeah, I totally relate to that. I remember when I first signed up to like ClassPass. So I use ClassPass to go to like different classes in London. And I remember when I first went, I was so anxious. I was like, oh no, like everyone here is gonna know what they're doing. I'm gonna know nothing. But when I went, there were so many other beginners there that I wasn't the only one. And the teachers are like always really, really friendly, and they're always happy to help you out and explain things. And like I feel
Not that
like
bad, you
the
know. You think,
anxiety worse than the reality, like the reality was just fine.
because we overthink so many times, we overthink, and then when it actually happens, we're like, oh, that wasn't actually that bad. Like, maybe I'll go again. And I think also just bring a friend with you. If you're feeling,
Have a buddy, then you can be like slightly anxious together.
I remember like when I just started yoga as well, a couple of years ago, I was so anxious to go and like do yoga, because like some people, I actually saw this girl on Instagram, and she was talking about how she went to it's called something called Bikram yoga, but it's in like extreme heat. It's almost like you're in a sauna. So you're
Oh
doing all
yeah,
these yoga,
that's
yeah, you're
wow.
doing all these yoga poses, but in like extreme heat. And she was saying how she was like, by the end of it, she was out. She was knocked out. But I was like, at the end of the day, like, you're trying something new, and that's what's important. You're stepping out of your comfort zone. You're going out to do things that you haven't done before, and that's important, especially like around this kind of time in your life where
Yeah,
you have to
you
try
kind
new
of become a person, right? It's like if you
things.
never step outside of your comfort zone, then you never discover things that you might actually really enjoy.
Well, that's so important. I think some people, we get so like we get into a routine. I think I'm such a creature of habit that if I'm doing something, I'll always do that. But then stepping out of your comfort zone now and again is really not that
Yeah, I think it's totally worth it. And I think, yeah, I try as much as possible to kind of just like explore new things as well. And I think like once you push out of your comfort zone and realize it's not as bad as you thought it was going to be, then it's kind of like easier to deal with things like
deal with it.
anxiety as well.
Yeah, because I remember as well, like I would never do solo travel. Like, I would never go on a solo date, or I would never, go on a solo journey somewhere. Now I don't really care. I just book myself a ticket and I just go.
Yeah.
Like, I would never do that before, because I used to be so anxious about traveling by myself, or like, what would people say, or like, that kind of thing. Now I don't
Like, I
really
really
care. I
care
think it's
about that.
better sometimes.
Yeah, I would be like, oh no, like, what if I went alone to this cafe? Oh no, would that be weird? But then I realized, I was like, if I want to do that, then I might as well, because probably nobody cares and I'm probably
No
gonna
one's
have
gonna care. No
time
one's gonna look
anyway.
at. To be fair, no one really looks. And I realize even in like in the fanciest of cafes, no one really cares because everyone's just minding their own business. Especially if it's London, everyone's just minding
Yeah.
their own business. Like no one really know if you're here by yourself or you're here with a date or if you're here with friends. No one really cares. But it's for your own experiences, I think. And you can go out there
It's
and
like
maybe
that
meet
typical.
people.
It's like that typical thing where it's like other people are probably just like also anxious about what
Yeah.
other people think, but actually nobody is like really judging you.
100%. I actually agree with you as well. But yeah, I think it's a good thing, and I think we're both at that kind of stage in our lives where we want to experience new things. Maybe we should go to that boxing class next time. We'll go together.
If you want,
No,
I'll
but
sign
I never.
you up.
Yeah, the last time I used the
Okay.
boxing glove didn't go very well. So. But yeah, no, one of my uni mates had had boxing gloves. But yeah, no, I think I'll do quite well. I think self-defense is important.
Yeah, that aspect. It's also just like, it's fun to like kind of take your aggression out a little bit. It's fun to
100%.
unwind.
100%.
Like,
Gosh, I had it
yeah.
before. One of my friends, like, he would get sometimes so like frustrated or so angry sometimes, and he'd just like go and knock like trees or like boxing, like he'd just do like stuff just to like get rid of that kind of stress and anger. And I think
Yeah.
sometimes it actually works. I feel obviously it's a bit that's a bit more of a masculine thing, but a lot of the time, like you do see men just like out there just like beating up like walls and stuff, which I understand now because I have a stress ball that I use at work. And it doesn't really look, it looks like it's gone through a lot. But yeah, it's actually, it does help sometimes. You just feel that you feel a little bit relieved. And
Yeah,
again, these are all
it's
human
so,
emotions and it's normal.
yeah, it's so important to like make time to de-stress and make time to just like actively relax.
Yeah, especially in stressful kind of work environments where you've got that pressure sometimes. But again, I think just being able to chat on platforms like this, with different people and from different people of different walks of life as well, just hearing their stories, hearing what they've been through and relating. And I think a lot of people who are listening today, in the audience, they probably have been through similar situations where, not having a platform where you can freely talk about it. But I think I'm so grateful for having you here today because we've been able to chat about a lot of things, wellness, lifestyle related, and also just being able to deal with stress, no matter what field or what career you're in. But thank you so much for joining me today, Carol. It was so lovely to speak to you, to learn about your London lifestyle, and I'm definitely going to come up to that boxing class. So that's kind of a wrap for today. I've got a lot of other lovely guests that I'm anticipating, and I am so grateful to have you with us today. Thank you so much, and I will speak soon. Take care, everybody.